Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. We're going to be talking about power of Elijah. And we started this last week and or 2 weeks ago. And a lot has happened between now and then. So I'm going to now look at what did Elijah do. If God is saying that there's going to come, the spirit of Elijah is going to be come back before John the Baptist. It said, Jesus said he moved in the spirit of Elijah. But he also said that Elijah, the spirit of Elijah would come back before the fearful day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's wrath. Well, that hasn't happened yet. And we never saw in the ministry of John the Baptist, we never saw the power. We saw the boldness, but we never saw healings. We never really saw signs and wonders. We saw he was pretty wild. I mean, you know, he dressed funny and he ate strange things and he was completely sold out and he was nothing like the world. And his main boldness was telling the Pharisees and telling the people where they were evil and even telling kings where they were coming against the things of God. And we really saw that in the life of John the Baptist, right? We saw that. But when you really study Elijah, he raised the dead. I mean, he outran chariots. I mean, he had signs and wonders and power that we have not yet seen restored to the body of Christ. And I believe before the Lord returns, we are going to see the fulfillment of the spirit of Elijah that's going to come before the day of the Lord's wrath or the return of Christ. All right? So I want to go, I just want to talk about this one thing the Lord showed me when I was reading through this last night. And when you're looking into the teaching on Elijah, it's mainly going to be in 1 Kings and 2 Kings and then Chronicles. But let me find this one where he talks about the altar. I just want to talk about the altar because last night I really had a powerful time in the Holy Spirit, and the Heavenly Father really revealed to me about his altars. And you'll see everybody's heard the teaching just about Elijah destroying the prophets of Baal. And we're going to talk more about that as we do this series. But I want you to see where Elijah built an altar. So Elijah built an altar to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit last night just really told me, I want you to go look at this. I want you to look at this. And there's a lot of people talking about building altars to the Lord. And so I began to ask the Lord, well, show me. And he had me study a little bit on the Old Testament about the altars. And I looked up what altars, and basically altars is where they brought the animal sacrifices. So as New Covenant believers, we recognize, and the power of God can be so strong for us to get this. I want everybody to really get this. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God before the foundations of the earth. Before God, remember, is Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Word who became flesh, and Holy Spirit. That's who God is. Before the foundations of the world, before Jesus Christ, before the Word came forth from the Father and began to speak into existence everything in the world, as he began to create beyond God, it was already in his heart and in his mind that Jesus Christ, that the Word was going to become flesh and become an actual living sacrifice for all of mankind. And he was going to be murdered for the sins of the world. So I want us to understand how important that cross is. I want us to understand that it really is not okay just to celebrate Resurrection Sunday without really understanding the Friday, Good Friday, or whatever day that was. Many people believe it actually wasn't on a Friday, that it really was three full days, and I kind of believe that. But there was a time when Jesus Christ, literally from the foundation, before the very foundation of the world, before Adam was ever, you know, brought into existence, or birds or fish, or where God was going to stop the waters, or any of that creation stuff happened, in the very heart of God was that he knew that for mankind to be able to choose him and have free will. Now, he already understood, you got to understand, the Father understood that the things in heaven happened before the foundation of the world, right? That there were angels, that there was a system in heaven. You know, as soon as he created the earth and put Adam and Eve in it, it wasn't long after before Lucifer showed up, right? So the whole thing of the devil already rebelling and being thrown out of heaven had already happened. And so God knew before the foundation of the earth, the world, what it was like to have servants who did everything he said, and what would happen if they rebelled and were prideful and began to think they didn't need God. So he understood what that mess looked like. Amen? He understood what that mess looked like. He understood about a third of the angels following Lucifer in a rebellion against God. So sometimes we have to stop and realize, you know, when the Lord made the world, when he made planet Earth and the whole season of mankind, he already knew what pride did, and he already knew what rebellion did, and he didn't want actually to recreate here what he already had in heaven. He didn't want to do that. He could have done that. He could have just, boom, let's do this and let's have more angels. Let's have more beings that we create and let's do this. But he wanted, in his great plan, in the heart of God, he wanted a people made in his image and his likeness who could choose to be in his family, who could choose to have the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life, who could choose to say yes to God. And that's what God's heart has always been. And he made it available to everyone, and he's always shown a remnant on the earth. But he's not as concerned that everyone be in heaven. He is dedicated to his purpose that human beings get to choose if they want to be part of his family. And he is in charge of what that's going to look like, because he doesn't want pride and rebellion again. And so when you look at this whole idea of an altar that you see through the whole Old Testament, of where the priests came and built, burnt, you know, made sacrifices to the Lord to appease for their sins, and to the blood to cry out for their sin. And you realize before God ever created the foundations of the earth, he knew that he was going to have a perfect, perfect sacrifice that was sinless of a human being who could pay the price for all the human beings who would sin against God, which was all of them. And yet that blood would be innocent blood that would be poured out for that entire human race. So this story that God has put together, and you can read in his word, this whole existence is amazing. And so when I'm reading about the altar, and so I'm praying about that, and I'm going through thinking like, oh, Lord, maybe, you know, we need to, go back and really see how to build an altar. I tried to look at some different people's teaching last night with the presence of God was on me. And he took me to the scripture where Jesus Christ, let me see if I've got this in here. So when I go into the, I started looking in understanding of altar in the new covenant, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but I just want to, we have to understand what this is all about. Okay, and so Jesus begins to talk about, like in Matthew 23:18, and let me do the Amplified. And Jesus says, and you scribes and you Pharisees, which is religious people, whoever swears an oath by the altar, then it's non-binding. The altar isn't that important. But whoever swears an oath by the offering on it, he's obligated. And he's mainly talking about those who say, I'm going to give you this much money, and they're looking for money. But they've made the offering more important than the altar. And Jesus goes on to say, you spiritually blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? And I remember saying to God, well, I would think that the offering would be more important too, because the offering that we as believers in Jesus Christ understand was the blood of Jesus, right? It was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the perfect, perfect human being who was fully God and fully human, and he was the spotless lamb, the lamb without blemish before the very foundations of the earth. And his blood was poured out as the offering for all of man's sins. And I said, God, I don't understand why this kind of says, and it says in a couple places, that the altar is just as important, right? See, don't you guys ask God these kind of questions? He goes on and he says, therefore, Jesus says, whoever swears by the altar swears both by it and everything offered on it. And whoever swears by the sanctuary of the temple swears by it and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. And he goes on and he talks about, you give a tenth, a tithe of your mint, your herbs, but you neglect the weightier important matters and provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the primary things you ought to have done without neglecting the others. He talks about you are the blind guides who look after the gnat. This kind of sounds like different people in our society who are trying to destroy those who believe in God. You strain out the gnat. You look for something bad to point at and say is wrong. And yet you swallow the entire camel. You don't even see the big stuff. You don't even care about the really big stuff. You're just looking for what you're looking for to try to stop those who love God. Anyway, so when I saw this and there were other scriptures about the altar, I said, okay. And at this point, I knew I was really having an encounter with the Heavenly Father. And I said, Father, I don't understand why the altar is as important as the offering. And I started looking at things in scripture, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, are you saying that we need to follow these certain laws and these way to do things? And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to speak to me really clearly. And he said to me, really the Father said to me, the altar represents my ways. The altar represents how I want things done. The altar represents the plan of God before there was ever the offering. And it's important as the offering, to understand the importance of the altar. So me and my human way of doing things and how fast we try to run to formulas, thinking, oh my gosh, I need to start studying those who've done teaching on the altar, and maybe we need to build an altar. And all of a sudden the Father was like, no, It's not everything in the old covenant has been fulfilled in my son Jesus Christ. So when you're looking at an altar, and you can actually read in Hebrews, there's more about the altar. In the book of Revelations, there's at least three times it talks about the altar in heaven. And so I'm like, God, help me understand what you're saying, because I'll gladly run and read all these books and try to build an altar. And the Lord put on my heart, the Father put on my heart, the altar is understanding the ways of your God. Understanding my ways, understanding my heart, understanding my purposes, understanding my intention, knowing who I am. And when my son, when it was an agreement that the Word would become flesh and dwelt among you as a human being and live with you and understand you and be tempted as you are, but not give in to temptation, but say yes to me, to the Father, and only do what he sees I'm telling him to do. And when he revealed to you what it looks like to live as a human being empowered by God, then he made the way for you to walk as a human being empowered by God, if you accept the sacrifice. If you accept the sacrifice. And so many of us don't take the time to recognize that in that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he gave us power. He gave us authority. He gave us his own spirit coming to live within us. And what we're missing many times is the understanding of the power of the altar, and the altar representing what is the intention of God. Why does God want us to have power? Why does God want us to have healing? Why does God want our family saved? What is God after? And I begin to cry out to God. I'm like, Lord, I want to understand you. I want to come in boldly to the throne room of grace and talk with God. And then the Father began to share with me after a long conversation I had earlier that day asking him questions. And he said, my people coming out fell into the dark ages, which was a time where religion and building an altar and looking to the man-made offerings, especially money, took over the revelation of the altar of just knowing the ways of your God and wanting to understand God and wanting to be in the presence of God and wanting to come boldly into the presence of God and understanding the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to bring us into the presence of God and understanding the lordship of Jesus Christ and understanding Holy Spirit leading us and understanding the true gospel, which most people don't even seem to understand. And the Lord put on my heart that this doctrine of elitism or covering that came in with, it probably came in before that, because it talks about the Nicolaitans had that doctrine, and I don't know if the Nicolaitans is also connected with Constantine when all this really happened. But what happened with Constantine is a government began to be in charge of Christianity. Oh, if I go further, they'll probably pull this off. But the government begin to take over for the Holy Spirit. And a hierarchy of leadership came into being. And it was no longer God's people connected to the headship of Jesus Christ, but it became a hierarchy of leadership of the people going through more spiritual people who connected with the headship of Jesus Christ and then brought the information back to them. And therefore, the church went into religion again. And we went backwards, trying to do religious things. And we begin to be the hypocrites again and the Pharisees again. And we begin to puff ourselves up and feel elite if we were called into ministry. And we begin to even say there are sheep instead of God's sheep, and we're just one of them. And the Lord began to put on my heart, until the foundation of the church is built on Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. The cornerstone back then was like the major laying of the foundation of a building that everything else was built on and held everything together. And the cornerstone had to be perfect. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Into modern building, we would probably just call that the foundation. I'm not sure. I'm not that much of a builder. But the bottom line is we got away from that and we begin to build on man-made doctrine and doctrine of demons that begin to have us look to people instead of to God. And the whole idea, when the Lord said, "It is finished, into your hands I commend my spirit," and then his spirit went from him and rent the veil in the temple, and there was a gigantic earth shake and everything happened and the temple was falling apart, it was a revelation that there's no longer a separation between God and his people. And yet, at the days when we begin to embrace religion under Constantine, which they call Catholicism, it took away that great thing that God's heart was. What was the heart of God for the sacrifice of his son? The heart of God was, I get to have all of my children, all those I created my image and my likeness who accept the sacrifice of my son and the blood that covers their sin so that they can come in and hang out with me. All of a sudden, because of fear and persecution and money and religion, all of a sudden now, there is a group of people, and we like to call them nowadays a fivefold ministry, who think they have a special place that's only obtainable by them. And they took everything back to religion. And God is going to shake everything that can be shaken in the church and in your churches that touch what belongs to him. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his blood, his lordship, was so that his father could have a relationship with his creation, his people, that would call on his name and want him through what Jesus Christ did and accomplished, led by the Holy Spirit. So we come in through Christ. And we know Christ and we have a relationship with Christ, but it matures beyond just a relationship with Jesus and singing songs about Jesus and trying to do what Jesus would do. It goes beyond that into a place of an encounter where the Holy Spirit comes in us and we can cast out demons. And then the Bible says, then this kingdom of God has come upon you. So the kingdom of God comes upon us because we accept what Jesus Christ did, but we don't stop there. Instead, we go deeper there, and in that deeper there, we begin to be yielded to the Holy Spirit who comes inside of us and leads us into revelation and understanding so we can understand God. So we can see that the altar is as important as the sacrifice, because the altar represents the ways of God, knowing God, understanding God, walking with God, hearing God, loving God. Jesus is not a stepping stone to the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come into the presence of this powerful Heavenly Father except through Jesus Christ. But you also will not come into a relationship with Jesus Christ unless you recognize that he is God. And then the Holy Spirit that was poured out when Jesus had done what he was called to do, and he went before the Father, and he put his blood on the mercy seat, and he said, it's better that I go, because I'm going to send one that's going to be great among you. And he had people so obedient, so hungry, that they cried out and prayed and said, where is this one that's coming? And then when the Holy Spirit came, it wasn't in the way anybody was expecting. It was wild. It was powerful. It was mighty. And every person there was baptized with the Holy Spirit, with his power, with his boldness, with his fear. And they went about doing miracles. And God is calling us to a place of once again wanting the simplicity of this understanding of the relationship with Jesus Christ and what he paid for and what he accomplished. And it's not based on our good works. It's not based on how much we know or don't know. It's not based on who we know or who prays for us or where we go to church. It's based on a revelation of what Jesus Christ has done so that we could be one with him and have a revelation of the Heavenly Father and grow an understanding of the kingdom of God. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything in your life. And so tonight the Lord just put on my heart, I want, as you begin to teach on Elijah and teach on my power and teach on me wanting to reveal myself in this hour, because we're in an end time hour. And as I begin to change things and I begin to shift things and I begin to turn things upside down that need to be turned upside down and shake everything that needs to be shaken, I want to come out of this a forerunner of the return of Christ in looking at the prophetic of Elijah, seeing what Elijah did, and even Elisha, who did twice as much as Elijah, and going into that place of understanding this power that God wants to give us. But he's not giving it to us for our own ministry building. He's giving it to us because of what it cost him to be able to entrust us with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who is the power of God. And as we sell out to the ways of God and we understand, begin to understand the Father and get the Father's heart, then he can trust us to use this wonderful power that should be motivated by nothing but love for the glory of God. And if we do that, and as we do that, we will watch God save our nation. I mean, nothing is going to save our nation. It's not going to be any political party that can save our nation. It's not going to be any leader who can save our nation. It's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit through God's people, not just through the fivefold ministry, but through the people of God who get a revelation of God and a heart for God and begin to understand the ways of God and get hungry for God. And they lay down their idols. Everybody's idols have been touched. As we enter into this new season, everybody's idols. If leisure time is your idol, it's been touched. If making lots of money is your idol, it's been touched. If having parties and lots of social life, it's been touched. If having close relationships with people ahead of God, it's been touched. With trying to take care of yourself, it's been touched. I can't really think of anything that hasn't been touched. And thank God for some, it didn't really cause any of shaking. Now there's pretended faith where they think they're not shaken, but they haven't yet entered into the deeper revelation God's bringing them to. So their shaking will keep on till they wake up. But then there's actually those who've been shaken. And you know if you've been shaken. Boy, have we been shaken. I pray that this shaking doesn't last as long as the shaking that I've been through and this ministry's been through. But if it does, then praise God. You're going to be here for a while, but you're going to get closer to God. The only real answer in a shaking is letting go of everything but getting closer to God. Not trying to hold on to the old ways of doing things, but letting go of everything. And only one in God's will, and waking up to the season and the hour that we're in and the purposes of God, and recognize the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to fulfill his purposes in this hour. And one of the things that God's going to restore is power, the kind of power Elijah walked in. And when we get into this more, you're going to see Elijah raise the dead. You'll see that God actually listened to Elijah. when Elijah asked him to do things. You'll also see Elijah heard the Lord and stood up to government officials where they could have killed him, but they couldn't. It was such a boldness. And Elijah was strong enough to know that God was going to do something out of this that was more important than even the suffering and what people were going to go through until people would humble themselves and cry out to God and turn from their wicked ways. And so if you kind of want to wake up a little, it's almost like we've just stepped into the Bible in a real way. And though God's been restoring things ever since he's been restoring things from the dark ages, he's now putting everybody in position within, if you want to say, the pages of the last days to say, now let's have that church that glorifies God. Now let's have that people who will be light in darkness. He doesn't say he's going to take away the darkness. He says there'll be light in darkness that will be salt. We won't lose our saltiness. We'll be able to help people see that there's a difference for those who really know the Lord Jesus Christ, the powerful Heavenly Father, and are led by the Holy Spirit. There's a difference in their lives. Right now, you can't tell that too much. But that's why the shaking is going on. And I feel like the Lord just wants everybody, no, don't think the shaking is just going to end quickly. I'm not saying that certain situations that are causing the shaking aren't going to end. But if you really look at the scriptures in the time of sorrow that Jesus talks about, we talked about this, the time of sorrow that I believe without question we've entered into, and I believe as a nation we probably entered in at 9/11, and that first labor pain, little things happened along the way, but it was like a 20 years. But when someone's in labor, when a woman's in labor, then it starts out and it can come a little. But when you get closer and closer to bringing forth new life, when you get closer to the result of what you've been laboring for, then it gets more intense and it gets really fast. And pretty soon there comes a new season of pushing. We're not going to get into that, but I'm going to study scripture and find out what that's going to look like. Amen. But we need to recognize they come faster. And in between, if you're a woman in labor, in between, you're like, oh, glad that's over. And, oh, and you kind of try to sleep and, you know, eat something or do whatever. And then, oh, no, here comes another one. And when it gets real intense, you're almost like, oh, not another one. Oh, not another one. And for all those who just use epidurals, then you might not quite understand. And for those who've never experienced it, let me tell you, I don't care how easy a labor you had, there was still some laboring in the labor. I mean, I've had three different ones, and they were all, I've had the whole, from a 30-some hour one, oh, that was rough, to a 4-hour one that happened so fast, you're going to be kidding, to an 8-hour pretty normal one. But every one of them had some intensity, amen? And every one of them had that wanting to get to the next season. So, as we go through this season of sorrows that's going to bring us all the way into the time before the return of Christ, which is going to include the wrath of the Lord and a lot of different things, I want you to get this, that there should be an excitement that Christ is returning. There should be an excitement that he's birthing something that's going to change everything, that his return is going to change everything. And there really will be a millennium reign. There really will be Christ seated, you know, on the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a perfect world. And the enemy is going to try to counterfeit that. And he's going to do that more intensely as we get to the last days. And so we need to really get spiritual eyes and ears right now. We need to see what is going on, Lord. Jesus wept when he realized that Israel missed the day of their visitation. They did not have to suffer what they suffered, but they missed the day of visitation. And I just pray that we're not missing this day of visitation. Amen. We're not missing this season preparing us for what God has for us. And everything in us that doesn't like to be shaken is of the flesh, because the kingdom of God is unshakable. There's an unshakable kingdom. In that unshakable kingdom, there's going to be no fear. In that unshakable kingdom, there's going to be joy, peace, no matter what's going on. And they're not just not cute little words. Everybody get ready. We've entered into a place of learning to die to flesh and learning to enter into this kingdom reality. And it's not just cute talk, and it's not just for the fivefold ministry. And we need to be real about when we get to the place of counting it joy. Because until you get to the place of counting it joy, you're not winning. you're just being whammed by the enemy. But God wants to get us to a place of counting it all joy. So that we lack nothing, nothing that's of his kingdom, nothing that he wants us to have. And so the Lord is changing our mindsets right now to really become very spiritually minded. And he's going to give a boldness and an understanding. And as he prepares us to be a people like Elijah, as he prepares us to be a generation of people before his return who will just have no fear. And so, you know, we'll do this next, we'll be talking more about this on Tuesday at 7, and we'll be talking about this again next Friday at 6, and we'll do more teaching on this, and we're going to look a little bit more at the actual miracles of Elijah, and how do we enter into that for real. And I encourage everybody, go read about Elijah, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and begin to ask God to open your eyes. Let me see how you really want me to be someone like Elijah. It doesn't mean you're going to have that same personality. You're not going to have the exact same calling, but you would have the knowing that you could raise the dead. You'll have the knowing that you can speak boldly. You'll have the knowing that he'll protect you, that your life and your death is in his hands and no one else's hands. You'll know what healing is like. You'll know how to stand up to anything that is antichrist, anything that comes against Christ. Amen? And there'll just be a boldness that's coming on the body of Christ. And we got to get past all our hang-ups and our hurts and our areas of, oh, I don't want to be bold like that. Well, you better be bold like that. Jesus was bold, but he was also very tender. Amen? He wants us to reveal who God is. And yeah, we're going to all be immature with it some, and some people are going to make him look so mean, and some people are going to make him look like a pushover. And we got to really see who our God is. You know, what is he really like? And truly, when we submit ourselves to him and we say yes to him and we obey him, which is a sign that we love him, we begin to understand his ways that you can't understand in a fleshy kind of way. And that's why you hear all these teachings that people just don't get. How could God do that? You don't understand his ways if you don't know how he could do that. You don't understand who the enemy is. You don't understand all these different players that the word of God declares. And so, you know, we want to see what the Lord wants to teach us about that. And for those who want really in-depth teaching on a lot of things about the end times, I really like Mike Bickle. He just, on the IHOP ministry, he just really talks about all this stuff piece by piece by piece by piece. He's actually said he has a teaching of all 300 and however many scriptures on the end times, and he's done 150 of them in detail. And so I'm excited that God is actually sounding the alarm in Zion to say, now is the time. Now is the time to recognize the time. You're in the time of trouble. You're in the time of sorrows. You're in the time that's like laboring pains. I don't know if it's going to be the 4-hour labor, the 8-hour labor that I had, or the 30-some-hour labor. Amen. And remember, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, which means you can't figure out his math. But we can know this, that he's calling us to a new season. And everything in you that's afraid of what you're going to lose in this new season shows you an idol. And everything in you that wants to protect yourself and protect your stuff and protect your way of life, your job, whatever, it shows your idols. And come on, we all struggle with idols, especially in America, amen? And so we're like, okay, Lord, help me in this. And that's the key, grace. God, give me the grace to handle this. Lord, give me your supernatural empowerment to be able to let go of what has to let go. Give me your supernatural empowerment to believe you and to believe that you want to use me in this season, that you want me to be part of your plan of healing and restoration, that you want me to be a part of your plan of great mercy and justice. And Lord, just show me what to do and how to do it. Lord, give me ears to hear. Show me the pieces that you want to put in my life. Bring those teachers in, you know, into my life. Let me find the place you have for me. I believe you're going to see some churches close with this, just like you're going to see businesses close. You're going to see idols fall. You're going to see the Lord bless some things and take away his blessings from some things. You're going to see some get more evil and more without God and not knowing it. And others become more about the Holy Spirit presence and being led by the Spirit of God and getting free from the doctrines of men. There is coming a great revelation of the difference between dark and light. And the dark is going to get darker and the light is going to get lighter. The tares are going to be pulled out. And God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. And so we just want to pray with everybody. Father, we just thank you that you're God. Lord, we thank you that you are love. Lord, your word says that God is love. We want your definition of love. We know, Father God, that your word says that if we love you, we'll obey you. So, Father, give us ears to hear you so we can obey. Give us hearts, God, that want to obey you. Give us the revelation that we can be led by your Spirit, that your Spirit is our teacher, that your Spirit is our comforter, that your Spirit is our friend and our companion, that your Spirit will lead us to all truth, that your Holy Spirit will show us who to listen to and yes and amen and where to go with things. And we will lose the lie that there's people who are superior in this to us. But we'll embrace the truth that powerful sacrifice on that cross that rent that veil, that opened the way for us to have our own relationship with the Heavenly Father. Whoa! That outpouring of the glorious Holy Spirit that happened when Jesus went and sat at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, that is my new reality. That is my reality. And that glorious Holy Spirit will lead me. He will lead me to which teachers to hear, to what church to be an active part of, to be a living stone in, to what gifts and things he's put in my life for his purposes and his glory. To begin to expect God to show me what to do and how to do it. To bring a song, a spiritual teaching, a word, a message, a new song, when we gladly gather together as believers to be built up and trained and strengthened in the things of God. Destroy, God, everything about just social clubs that call themselves your assemblies. And let us be true fellowship led by your Spirit, with training and equipping by your Spirit through ministers, through apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors who come alongside us and connect us to the headship of Jesus Christ, the only one that's superior. We give you praise, God, as you set your foundation of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the only headship in the church, his body. And as you bring this about as a reality in the day that we're living, God, let us be a part of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.